So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Angel appeared. Baby jumped. Angel sang to shepherds. A new star appeared. Wise men followed it. Herod wanted to kill Jesus. God kept him safe. Joseph had a dream. He moved. He had two more dreams. He moved again. The rescuer had come. It's Jesus. And that's a part of God's story.
There'll be a quiz in a minute. Hope you got all those names. Yeah, that's better than I could tell it. I thought that was pretty good. And I wanted to show that because I just thought it's neat to kind of see it all put together. I'm going to focus in on a few verses today around the Christmas story. And so, but it's nice to see everything all laid out for you. The rescuer, Jesus, has come, and that's what we're celebrating here at one day in advance, Christmas Eve. And so today I want to talk about just these few verses, and I think you heard them in one of those parts of the video where it says, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased. And so let me just kind of pray here before we get into this and then ask for God's blessing here. Heavenly Father, we are just glad that we could be here this evening. Thankful for everyone that's come, family and friends and regular attenders here as well as guests. And Lord, we are coming tonight. We want to honor you in our thoughts and also just want to learn about how to have the peace that this angel is speaking about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So these few verses that we're going to talk about here take place in the Gospel of Luke, right? There's four Gospels, and this Gospel of Luke is one of those accounts of Jesus' life. And in this passage, and I've got it up here for you so you can follow along, starting in verse 10 there, it says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I am here with good news for you, which will be great joy. Yes, he's right over there. And this very day in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased. And again, it's that last verse I really want to talk about, because this angel, you know, it's like any one of us in one sense, when a child is born into your home, there's the birth and then there's the announcement of the birth, right? Except for this particular one had quite a birth announcement, right? Angels appear. An angel appeared. And then it said an army of angels. Some Bible translations talk about you know, it's called a host of angels, but that's basically an army. And so that's why those shepherds would have been afraid, right? They would have been afraid. They're like, when this army of angels appears, and so they were afraid, but the angel says, listen, don't be afraid, because the Savior has been born today. It's interesting, too, in that passage where how it describes Jesus. What is this baby that's born, right? And it describes him, and he says, this very day in David's town, your Savior was born. Your Savior. So that word Savior, right, that just implies that we need saving, okay? And anyone who's ever done anything wrong, which would include all of us and everybody that's ever lived, right, that's called sin, and we need to be saved from that, and they're saved from the penalty of it. And so that's why Christ came. And so this angel says, peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased. And that tells me that only certain ones will experience this peace. It says, with those whom he is pleased. So how do I become pleasing to him? That's a great question. And so this is critical. We have to understand, if we want to experience this peace, and Charlie mentioned it, you know, when you look around the world, you just look at the news, there's not peace. And so someone might read this and say, peace on earth. Well, that boy, that failed. You know, that just didn't happen. Well, you know, the thing is that when Jesus came, it inaugurated several events, meaning it started something, okay? It started something, but it's all not yet done, okay? And so when we read the prophets in the Old Testament, right, where one in Habakkuk 2:14, it says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, that's not happening right now, but it will one day. This is a promise. It's a promise of this kind of peace. And then I believe Charlie may have mentioned this in his readings there. He said in Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet says, of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. So there's a promise of never-ending peace there. And so we get it. You know, we're not experiencing that. So that's future. That's to come. Okay? That's going to come. So, but there is a peace. In fact, three types that I'm going to talk about. Three types of peace that we will and can experience right now. And then when Christ comes back, when Jesus comes back the second time, the second advent, then we will experience all the promises of peace. Okay? So the question is now, how do we experience the peace that the angel promises now? Well, there's three types of peace I want to talk about, and that's peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with other people. And so let's talk about here this first one, experiencing this peace. Now, there's two keys I'm going to give you, all right, two keys, that if you want to experience these three types of peace, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with others, there are two keys, all right? One of them, you know, any kid in Sunday school knows, is Jesus, okay? It's always Jesus, God, or the Bible, right? Those are always the answers. So Jesus is key. If you try to separate Jesus and try to get these types of peace we're talking about today, you'll miss it. Okay, so Jesus is critical. If you don't have and understand what Jesus is about, you will not be able to experience those three types of peace. All right? The other one is believing. Jesus and believing. Faith. All right? Of course, not just faith for faith's sake, but faith in Jesus. Okay? And so these are critical. If you take a look here, that Jesus himself is the linchpin for having peace, these three types of peace, and we see Jesus himself saying in the Gospel of John, he says, my peace I give to you. He says, my peace I give to you. And then the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, he says, Jesus himself, the person Jesus himself, is our peace. So you can't have peace with God, and you can't have peace within yourself, and you can't have peace with other people unless you've got Jesus. All right? And that's the key. That is the key. All right? So those two things, Jesus and believing. Now, what about the believing part? Well, look at this verse here in Romans here. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Now, does anybody here want joy and peace completely? I mean, I do. Who wouldn't if we're honest, right? And it says you can have and be filled with that joy completely. And by the way, this is regardless of circumstances, right? He says, how does that happen? By believing. You trust in God. You trust in Jesus and why he came. And so if that happens, then you have access to the full and complete joy and peace that's promised. So Jesus and believing are keys, all right? If you don't have Jesus and you haven't believed in him, right, then you're not going to be able to really experience this fullness of joy and peace that's talked about. And you can't have to a certain measure, but not to the way God wants it to be. So, having those two keys in mind, let's talk about the first kind of peace. Peace with God. Peace with God. Well, there's a verse here that talks about this, but by the way, This is the foundational one. If you don't have peace with God, you're not going to have peace within yourself, and you're not going to be able to have peace with those around you, okay? So it's like it has to be in this order. You have to have peace with God. You have to. If you don't have peace with God, there's no way that you can have these other types of peace. So it's foundational. Our verse here in Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Now just think about just normal English, how we read sentences, right? And this is the thing I love about God. He delivered to us this message, right, in a book, in a way that we can understand, in sentences, right? And so he tells us, he says, well, therefore, since we have been made right with God. So how do we get made right with God? Well, it says right there, by faith, okay? By faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done. So it's not just faith in anything. It's not just faith in anything. It has to be in faith in what Jesus Christ has done. Well, what has he done? What has Jesus Christ done, right? And I like the fact that they have the cross there. A lot of people think, well, why would you have a cross up there? You know, we're not celebrating Easter. This isn't the resurrection, right? This isn't Good Friday. Well, no, but what you have to know is that this is why he was born. He was born to die, right, on the cross for our sins. Now, that sounds really strange because a lot of people think, well, shouldn't I pay for my own sins? Well, somebody has to, right? But God has made a provision. He's made a way so that we could be forgiven. But again, someone has to pay for those. And Jesus is it. And he has come and he offered himself up. And it says in the Bible that the sins of the world was placed on him. And he actually suffered punishment for our sins. In a sense, he died in our place because it was us who was to be there. It's us who sin, not him. And so, but that's what this verse is telling us. How do you get made right with God? Right? And you might be thinking, well, why do I don't think that I'm wrong with God. I don't think there's anything wrong. That's a good question. But again, you know, the Bible talks about how sin, the things that we do wrong, that causes a separation between us and God. Right? And that separation is not just some geographical distance. It's a spiritual distance. God cannot have sin in his presence. So how could we ever be with him unless it's dealt with, right? But that's why Jesus came. Again, that's what this verse is saying. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So if you want to have peace with God, you have to deal with why Jesus came and what he came to do. All right? And that's something that you have to wrestle with because the Bible clearly states his purpose in coming was to save us from our sins. But you know the great news about this verse is it says that how do we get made right with God? It's by faith, right? It's not by doing good things. It's not by coming to Christmas Eve service, right? It's not by being a member of a church. It's not by being baptized. It's not by serving in the soup kitchen. All those things are fine, okay? But they do not make you right with God. Okay? The only way that happens is by believing in why Jesus came and believing that we need that forgiveness that he offers. That's the key. So by faith alone, that's how we're made right with God. And so the result is when you believe in Jesus, put your faith in him and why he came, what happens is God's anger at us because of our sin is put away. It was put on Jesus, right? Our rebellion against him is over. God adopts us into his family, and from now on, all of his dealings with us are for our good. He will never be against us. He is our father and friend because we have peace. So anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior can have peace with God. Everyone initially is born into this world not at peace with God. Okay? That's critical. We understand that. So, this is fundamental here. If we're going to experience peace with ourselves and peace with others, we have to have peace with God. You have to believe by faith. in what Jesus Christ has done. So the second kind of peace is peace with ourselves. And, you know, so once you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, not everything is perfect in your life. Surprise. I'm still the same person I was in many ways before I came to Christ, before I believed, all right? But in a lot of ways I've changed because of God's grace and mercy and help. And so, you know, we still have things we have to deal with, and one of those things is fear. Worry. Anybody here worry? I worry sometimes. You know, I worry about, you know, am I going to have enough money at the end of the month? Or I worry about, am I, you know, some of you guys are in college and you're worried, is there going to be a job for me when I'm done? Or will there ever be an end to my college? Right? And some of your parents are wondering that too. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we have things and we experience things. We worry. We have fear. And we don't, you know, what is the opposite of peace is anxiety and worry, right? I've got great news. Remember I said, you know, believing, right, is one of those keys to these three types of peace, right? Well, one of the aspects here is believing the promises of God. That once you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, once you have by faith received Him and have peace with God, you know what? He can supernaturally impart peace to your life. And there's a great verse for this, a couple of verses actually, in Philippians. The book of Philippians in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Don't worry about anything." I just love that phrase. I just need to like preach that self to myself in the mirror every day, every 5 seconds. Don't worry about anything. Right? Anybody need that? Because the opposite of worry is peace, right? Instead, it says, pray about everything. So don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need. It says, tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Well, how's that going to happen again? You have to roll it off onto God. Roll it off onto God in prayer. That's how you experience the peace, because once you have been made right with God, you can just go right to Him and you tell Him everything that's going on in your life, just like you would talk to your friend. And you roll it off onto Him, you pray to Him, because prayer is just talking to God. And God promises, if you'll believe it, this is the promise, again, believing is the key. He says, if you tell Him everything and don't worry about anything, He says, then you will experience God's peace, He says. You experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Now, I'm a very rational person. I'm a math teacher, right? I like things to add up. But there are certain things you just can't explain or try to figure out and calculate. And you have to simply trust God and take Him at His word. And so if you're a believer today and you're worrying about something or you're fearful about something, God wants you to take it to Him and pray to Him, and He promises peace. Now, you know, you might have to keep going back to Him because we often start to worry again. And so that's a great thing is that, you know, God never puts you on hold. All right? God never puts you on hold. The line's always open. Right? If you're a believer in Christ. And so you can pray and you roll it off onto God again. And He promises supernatural peace. Okay? He does. And that's going to come by believing this. As you pray, and you might even say, God, I don't even know how this is going to work out. It looks like there's no way out, but I'm going to pray and trust that You have my best in mind and that whatever's going to happen, because so many things in our lives are totally out of our control. Totally. And so we have to pray about it to God. We roll it off onto Him. And we say, I just got to let it go. I got to worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And really, here in this verse, it says, His peace will guard your hearts and your minds. Well, you know what? That tells me my heart and my mind are under attack. Constantly trying to, you know, there's an enemy who's trying to get me to be afraid and to worry and to fuss and to consume all this stuff. you know, in my mind. And so what he's saying is, well, how do you combat that? Well, you pray about it. That's what you've got to do. You know, it sounds so simple, and I think God meant it to be. I think God wants us to see is it's just that simple in terms of if I just pray to him, I give it over to him, and I trust. I say, God, you've got it. I don't know what's going to happen, but you got it, and I trust you. You know, this is the thing, is once you get to know God through the Bible, through scriptures, through teaching, through getting together with other believers and hanging out with them, once you get to know the God of the Bible, you learn he's trustworthy. Because some of you might not really know him, and so you're like, well, how can I trust a God like that? Is he really trustworthy? Yes, he is. Well, how do you get to know that? You got to learn about him, right? We have to grow in our knowledge of him. And so, but when we do that, and I encourage you this Christmas, you know, take your anxieties to God. Tell him about them. Ask him to help you, to protect you, to restore your peace, and then to use you to make peace. Okay? So you got to have peace with God. All right? And then when you do that, you have then the ability by God's grace to then have peace with yourself, right? Free from fear, free from anxiety, free from worry. So that's that second kind of peace. Now, the third kind of peace, peace with other people. Now, this is far out of our control. Okay? Some of us are going to be hanging out with family the next couple of days, and you're just like, I don't see any peace coming from that. All right? And maybe you're in a different situation where it's all good, and now praise God for that, you know? Count your many blessings, right? But, you know, sometimes there's just those relationships, whether it be family or friends or a neighbor or a coworker or a fellow student, and there's just this relational problem. There's a conflict, you know? And nobody likes conflict. Trust me, nobody does. But God says, and he promises here, and by the way, like I said, much of this is out of our control, but the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, in verse 18, he says, the Bible says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with everyone. Did you get that? As far as it depends on who? You, right? Not the other person. It's not like, well, they did that to me. I'm not going to make a move until they make a move. Yeah, been there. That really works. Not. Okay? It doesn't. God's saying, he didn't even say whose fault it is. He's just saying, if you've got an issue and you're not at peace in a relationship, you make the move. You get that? You make the move. And so there's a great verse, a couple of verses that talk about really a lot about this, and really the key to peace in relationships, because so much of it relates to forgiveness, right? Forgiveness and people having an unforgiving spirit. You know, and I knew someone years ago that, you know, held a grudge against a neighbor that was candy corner from them, did not speak to them for 5 years. Just ridiculous over something. And I don't even think they even knew why they were upset at each other after a while. And so we have to get this down. And these verses help us here in Ephesians 4. It says in verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Now here's the key. Instead, so he's like, don't do these things. And I love this about God. He says, don't do this. Do this instead. What are we supposed to do instead? Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And you're like, wow, okay, that's tough. Tender-hearted, you don't know the person we're talking about here, God. You know, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Jesus, has forgiven you. The key is the last phrase. The only way that you and I will be able to be tender-hearted, kind, forgiving one another is if we are really dialed in to how much we have been forgiven in Christ. Did you get that? If you and I really grow in our understanding and appreciation, if you can, and that, I can't think of a, there's got to be a better word than that, appreciation for how much we're forgiven in Jesus, okay? When we do that, we are able to then forgive, because it says forgive right? Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Well, how has God in Christ forgiven you? All sins for all time. Okay, I know that sounds, and maybe that's new to you, but when Jesus, when a person is at peace with God and they have put their faith in Jesus for what Jesus has done for them on the cross, when that happens, all your sin for all time, past, present, future, all forgiven. And people always have all kinds of questions about that, and I get that. But that's what happens, okay? And that's phenomenal. That's phenomenal that happens. And so he's saying, well, how God has forgiven you of all your sins. Are you not going to forgive someone else's sins against you? Who are you? When you've received this incredible forgiveness, how could you not grant that forgiveness to this other person? And I know situations can be complicated. I'm not pretending that it's all simple, okay? But I think by and large, many of the things that we deal with in our relationships where we're not at peace, and whether there's a rift in the family or whatever, if you're the Christian, or you're a Christian, you've got your faith in Jesus, and you've got peace with God, and you're at peace with yourself, you're experiencing that peace, then you need to extend forgiveness and not withhold it. So we have to be constantly reminded, the Christian has to be constantly reminded that in spite of all of our sin, God has forgiven us through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We need to get amazed at that. Right? We use the word amazing a lot, right? But we need to be amazed by what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We need to be at wonder of it all, right? It's the sense of amazement that I, a sinner, have peace with God, and that makes my heart tender, kind, and forgiving, right? And I need to keep being more amazed that my wrongs are forgiven. So we need to keep trusting God that he knows what he's doing. You know, a lot of times I don't feel like forgiving somebody. I might not, if I've been wrong, I might not feel like it. But you know what happens if you withhold that forgiveness, right? Boy, it really hurts the other person, doesn't it? Not as much as it's going to tear you up inside and keep you awake at night, cause you to have an ulcer, right? Cause you to have all kinds of problems, and a root of bitterness, as the scripture says, starts to grow up in your life. And then you become an angry person. I mean, it just goes on from there. So, it doesn't help anybody. So what we need to do is say, here's the key. You let God deal with the person, right? Are you judge and jury? No. God is. God will hold everyone to account. God is the God of justice, and he will, right? And many of these things will have to wait till after this life. But justice will be done. And so what you have to do is trust God to be the just judge. And for me, that helps me so much, just to let things go, to say, sure, I forgive you. And you just got to let it go. You let God be the just judge, okay? So, the scripture says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. And that is why he came on a day to a city as the Savior and Messiah. That's what we're celebrating. The Savior came. The Savior was born, right? And we celebrate it on December 25th as Jesus' birthday. And you know what? I think those angels had it right. They said, glory be to God in the highest. And you know what happens when people receive this child as their Savior? God gets glory. God is glorified. God is glorified, and we get the peace. I can't think of anything better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus is our peace. He is the way to have peace with God by dying for us on the cross and then raising again from the dead. He paid the price, our price, if we'll accept it. Otherwise, we pay the price. Someone has to pay. But Lord, we would just want to celebrate here continue to celebrate this evening and be thankful that you've made this peace accessible to anyone who believes. And that's the incredible thing. Anyone who transfers their trust from whatever they're trusting in to make them right with God, whether it's good works, whatever, transfer their trust not from those things, but onto the Savior, Jesus. And when we do that, we can have peace with God, and then we have access to supernatural peace in our own lives, and then we can truly forgive other people because we have been forgiven a debt that is just amazing. Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.